to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
So I have what I believe is a word in season this morning, and there is lots on the app for you to engage with. So if you haven't jumped on our church app for a while, there is a lot there to sink your teeth into, which you may enjoy doing as I speak, or in fact, you may want to revisit it later. And I want to start with the Word of God. Very good place to begin. John 10:10. Then Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate. The sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence, and I thank you for your truth. Lord, I pray as I speak this morning that there will be words of truth and life that will go forth from my mouth into this place. Lord, that there will be fire and form in what I speak. Lord, that there will be an anointing of heaven upon my words. But Lord, with that, there will be practical tools, systems, strategies, structures that we can take a hold of and live this life that you have destined and purposed for us. Lord, I pray that we are open-hearted, open-minded, open-handed in this place this morning to receive your word. Jesus be honored. Jesus be glorified. Amen. So let's get a little bit of cultural context here. John 10:10, we're all very familiar with it. But what we actually have here is in the chapter before, Jesus has healed a blind man. And not only has he healed a blind man, but he's healed a blind man on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, are having none of it. And so they're trying to understand what on earth Jesus is doing, who he is, and what is going on. And so when Jesus here is talking the fact about the thief, we often cite that as Christians as about being the devil, that the devil has come to steal and rob and destroy, which clearly he has. But in the context of this scripture, Jesus is actually referring to some of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are truth robbers. They have robbed the truth. They rob the truth. They rob the idea, the concept that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so that Jesus is then coming against that and saying, "You may try and rob the truth, Pharisees, but let me tell you, I am the way. I am the doorway. I am the gatekeeper. I am the way that you can have ultimate truth. Through me, you can have salvation. Through me, you can have abundant life." And the abundant life that Jesus is here speaking about isn't just a material wealth or prosperity kind of life. It's an eternal life. It's an eternal life that has far more resonance, far more relevance, far more eternal perspective, because it's a heavenly perspective in an abundant life that we live. So let's look at this verse in a couple of other versions. In the New Living Translation, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose," says Jesus, "is to give them a rich and satisfying life." The Passion: "But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life and in its fullness until you overflow." The Message: "I have come so that we, can have real and eternal life, more and better life than we ever dreamed of." What an extraordinary set of promises. What an extraordinary set of the measures of life that are available because of Jesus. Abundant life, real and authentic life, overflowing life, life to the full. And we know that this is our church's purpose statement. This is our locating scriptural mandate. It appears on our blackboard out in the cafe. It appears time and time again on our social media. It appears again on our branding. And as we launch into February, in the next few weeks that February is, as we launch into this traditional month of vision, this scripture will be our backbone. And as Pastor Ben and Pastor Jace are going to share in the upcoming weeks in this decade on purpose, this concept of life to the full is going to permeate through what we share. And there has been much prayer at a team level and at an exec level and seeking God about what is our mandate. There is lots of things we can do, God, but what have you purposed for us to do? Us as C3HH across its all locations, what is your mandate for us? What is your signature for us? What is your song for us? And we believe that there are a number of things that God has ordained upon our hearts that we're going to be obedient to and share over the coming weeks as we live and breathe this life to the full. But today is a prologue to that. There's a nice English literary word. It's like the pre-reading that you're supposed to do when you go to university before you turn up to the lecture. A few of you are laughing because some of you know that that's not something anybody ever really does. But online, you know, when it comes up, read these 17 chapters before your lecture. Some of the nerdies amongst us used to do that. But this is like a prologue. This will hopefully set the stage, set the theme, but more than that, I believe set the atmosphere, the spiritual undertone for what will then be launched in the coming weeks. And so what I want to provide today is a bit of a cultural study, a sociological snapshot, if you will, that may help give us language and context to not only what our decade on purpose is, but actually why we're doing it. Why this works, why we believe God has orchestrated and ordained this for us in this season. And I love this space. I love this kind of cultural study space. I have a great passion for it. I study it regularly, was birthed in my arts degree, and I kind of love this space. And so I thought, what better way to do a bit of cultural analysis is to then have a good old onstage demonstration. And given we are going back to school tomorrow, it seemed quite fitting. Let's operate in the educational space. And many of you would know I'm an ex-teacher, so let's stay in our wheelhouse. So we're going to get a little bit teachery today, but I promise you it's not just teachery, it's actually prophetic. So we're going to have a good old-fashioned create a moment, leave a visual remnant demonstration today. And podcast, I'll do my best to explain what we're doing, so that when you listen, you have some context. And so this imagery that we're going to share actually came out of a prophetic picture that has become clearer and clearer for me in the past couple of weeks as I have sat and saturated not only in this scripture, but in prayer. And so my hope and prayer is that this will be a sense of seed for you, that it will literally be fire and form for you, that the Holy Spirit will anoint what I'm about to bring, and that that will lay a foundation for where we're about to go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? I'd like to welcome to the stage, clearly and visually, not just off to the side, my wonderful sidekick helper, Pastor Susie. Yeah. I said I should have got her a lab coat, because then, you know, but I didn't really think that through. There was lots of logistics to think through, and lab coat didn't quite make it into my head. So what we have here on stage, for those of you that can't maybe get the visual the whole way around, is we have a visual representation of life. We have three tanks full of water with the word life on them. And so what I want to unpack today is the concept that life is a series of systems. Life is not just a destination point. Life is not just a linear progression, but it's actually a series of systems, and that this was a concept termed by Peter Senge in his text, The Fifth Discipline. And what he suggests is that life is a series of things that are interconnected. It's not just this one thing that you can do and have no thought or input or focus on that. Everything is in an interconnected network. So how we live our life is a series of interconnected choices. It's a series of interconnected rhythms. It's a series of interconnected priorities, interconnected inputs and outputs. And so what we're going to demonstrate is how this concept kind of works. Now, what I'm essentially talking about today is meaning management, how we make meaning, create meaning in our life, how we create a sense of who we are, what we're doing, how we bring value and meaning to our sense of purpose. Now, this is quite different to energy management. And some of you are quite familiar with the concept of there being four tanks. We've shared this a number of times from the platform too, from the concept of the power of full engagement, which Pastor Craig Groeschel has gone on to explain in a lot of detail in his recent podcasts. But this energy management idea is that there are four tanks, emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental, within us, and we need to figure out what depletes those tanks for us personally and what replenishes them. And so we need to recognise what depletes us emotionally and how to then replenish that emotional tank. And that sense of kind of feeling safe, that sense of kind of feeling purposeful, that sense of kind of having the right amount of energy is all to do with our tank management, all to do with our energy management, and it requires quite a high level of self-awareness, but also quite a high level of priorities. That is energy management. We're not landing there today. We're here in meaning management. However, we are still using the concept of tanks and vessels. So three tanks here. And what we have inside those three tanks this morning is we have three key values. Three key principles. Now, Pastor Mark Sayers, and you can listen to him more over on his brilliant podcast called The Cultural Moment, describes that the system of living life, the system of making meaning, is made up of these three key principles, three key ideas: purpose, community, and freedom. This is how we make meaning in our life. By having a sense of purpose, by having a connection to a community or a number of them, and by having a sense of freedom. So what is purpose? Purpose is what we're about. It can be connected to culture and religion and identity. It's about a cause and a reason. And if we have that purpose tank full, if we are operating that purpose tank as a network, as a reservoir, as a sense of input and output, then it adds meaning to our life. It enables that part of, that facet of us, to feel alive and full if we have a sense of purpose. Second one is about community. This is about connection. That we're not designed as humans to be in isolation. We're not designed to live by ourselves, but we're actually designed to be connected beings in all facets, from intimate, deep relationships with our spouses right through to the passing conversations with our neighbours. It's linking ourselves in community, and then beyond that, being linked to a purpose or a cause through sport or through a charity or through a concept. And then the third tank. The third tank that generates meaning, that creates meaning for us, is freedom. What we get to do, who we get to be, who we get to live like, who we get to love, that sense of choice, that sense of right, that sense of ownership. And all three of these systems are interconnected. They all operate off one another. We can't live with a sense of one being totally full and the other one being completely empty, because they are an interconnected system, of meaning making. And you'll see, as we've demonstrated on the stage, there's a bit of water in each of those tanks. To represent what that may feel like for you internally, you may feel like your community tank, your sense of being connected, is quite full, but you may feel like your purpose tank is quite not as full. You may feel like your sense of freedom tank is somewhere in the middle, but if we were to open up everyone's chest and look inside our tanks, these are the three that Pastor Mark Sayers says have the most significance when it comes to making meaning. Now, you may have heard of this before. This may be a new concept to you. But what I can hazard a guess, that if you've ever had a conversation with someone that feels like they're lost, they're often articulating one of these three things. I need to be part of something bigger. That's community. I need to go and find myself. That's freedom. I need to be part of something. That's community. So often when we're trying to articulate the sense of we don't fit or we don't have meaning, it comes back to these three things. It comes back to a sense of purpose, a sense of freedom, and a sense of belonging. Now, this is a picture here of our secular Western culture. Now, we live in that culture, but we are not of that culture. Now, this is the culture that we inhabit, and what is currently happening, what has currently happened with our secular culture as it stands right now, is one of these tanks is overflowing for everybody, and that is the freedom tank. The freedom tank is overflowing. What I mean by that, in 2020, in Western society, freedom is king. Freedom is excessive. The freedom to choose and be and do is excessive in our secular culture. I can have the gender I choose. I can marry who I choose. I can say what I want. I can define myself by what I want. I can believe this, go here, do this. I can believe in this concept, believe in this principle. Freedom is endless and without borders and without definition, and it is excessive. Our freedom tank in secular society is overflowing. And we have every right to not only have this freedom, but we can proclaim it. We can jump on any platform we like, any social media platform, any stage, write any letter. We can not only experience this freedom, but we can shout it from the rooftops. We have every right to have this freedom because freedom has become king. And freedom has become excessive. And we all know this. We only need to flick on a screen, trawl through our social media, have a conversation with our neighbour, stand in a car park, listen in a shopping centre. Freedom is excessive and boundless and overflowing. Now, what is interesting about this from a secular perspective is that society thought freedom was going to work. Society thought if we just allow everybody to be and do what they want and to have every right, and you do you and I'll do me and we'll all just coexist, they thought that this overflowing sense of freedom would bring the pleasure, the satisfaction, the utopia that we are all craving. But it's not, is it? This sense of freedom is leaving people with a sense of total dis-ease. People on our street corners, in our neighbourhoods, in our schools, in our universities have gone, this excessive freedom isn't actually working. You only need to have a conversation with one of our younger generation, as we heard Pastor Matt say last week, that they are crippled by choice anxiety. There is so much freedom, so many choices. There's no absolutes anymore, no rights or wrongs. Thank you, postmodernism. No best or greatest. Just do whatever you want. But it's stifling our young people because they're so scared they're going to make the wrong mistake. So this freedom, ironically, is actually stifling. Because if anything goes, where in fact are we all going? And so underneath the surface is this sense of dis-ease, this sense of brokenness, this sense of dysfunction. And so what then our secular side society needs to do is they go, okay, this is a system. This part of the system is overflowing. Let's compensate somewhere else. It's interconnected. So that bit is excessive, so let's try and connect it in some other way. And so what we're often seeing currently, modern day, today, in society, is we're seeing people turn to the sense of community. I'm going to fill my community tank. We see this desire at the moment, this ache in humanity to connect. Let's connect again. Let's gather around the table. Let's get off the platform. Let's gather in intimate gatherings. Let's have this sense of tribe, this sense of brotherhood, this sense of sisterhood. And as they're doing this, they're trying to fill this community tank. CrossFit culture and F45 culture is as much about a community as it is about fitness. It's actually about a like-minded group of people gathering together with a likened purpose. And so we see this, and then we see this in hashtag culture. When you create a hashtag and it's like everyone goes and attaches itself to it, because it's like, yes, I want to be part of that movement. I want to be part of that community. I want to be part of that collective thing. And this can be quite beautiful. Don't get me wrong. This can be quite meaningful, this sense of wanting to fill the community tank. But then the same goes for purpose. When we then go, okay, freedom is overflowing, I've got a sense of connectedness, but I feel like I need to still have more purpose in my life. I still need to make a difference. I still need to leave my imprint. I'm going to make a meaningful decision with my life. I'm going to commit to a cause or support a charity or grab hold of a movement or worship a purpose. And I find this fascinating how it plays out on social media. Social media is like a barometer of our social landscape. And so what we often see in social media is we see social media influencers will rise to the surface and they often blare a trumpet of freedom. This is my platform. See me, like me and the stuff that I'm doing and living and my great body and my great face or whatever. But then we often see that they get tired of just being influential, just being what one would argue is quite shallow, and they then become purposeful. They become, let's make a difference. Let's do something noble now with this platform that I have. And I mean, the incredible thing that Celeste Barber did, that is an exact indication of this thing. This is a satirical comedian in Australia who had a great following on her Instagram page. And when the fires broke out, she was like, I can either make people laugh in this space or I can make a difference. I can be purposeful. And so what did she do? She generated interest, she generated focus, she generated commitment to the cause and raised $52 million towards fire relief. And so she took what was a freedom platform and made it into a purpose platform. So don't get me wrong, these can be incredible spaces. These can be incredibly noble things. These can be incredibly wonderful things that humans are doing in our society in order to have a sense of meaning that they're making. Some are doing exceptional things, building great families, establishing great communities, fulfilling noble causes. But what starts to happen in secular society is this. This is the prophetic image that I had, is that we start to then keep drawing from the same well. The reservoir of water that we're trying to then fill the tanks with is the same. The meaningful ways that we're trying to create purpose and community and freedom, we start drawing from the same tank. We start having to recycle the same water. And so what feels purposeful one minute, suddenly we are craving for the next thing. What feels like freedom one second suddenly doesn't feel like it cuts it anymore. What fulfilled our community tank one day suddenly doesn't feel like it can anymore. And then there is this unrelenting, interconnected, personal pressure to I've just got to keep doing. I've just got to keep being. I'm in the rat race. I'm just going to keep trying to fill the tanks. I'm going to keep trying to do all manner of things, replenishing the water, making my own choices, doing the best I can. Because this, as a secular system, is flawed. It's a flawed system. This system cannot bring the fulfillment, the joy, the hope, the sense of purpose, the sense of meaning that we are designed to have. Because it's trying to seek purpose without an author. It's trying to create creativity without a creator. It's trying to be an originator without the original. It's trying to be a version of love without he who is love. It's trying to create stories of meaning without any credit to he who wrote the book. The system is trying to make meaning without a meaning maker. It's like we're trying to nourish an entire forest with a puddle. We'll do it for a while. The system and its interconnected parts will work for a while. We'll be able to replenish trees for a while. Maybe create a new shoot of life here. But then the entire rest of the forest, the rest of our soul, the rest of those around us will never be able to be replenished from the puddle. And so the outcomes of this system, as a secular system, friends, this is what it brings. It brings only a sense of fleeting happiness. It brings perpetual anxiety. Am I going to do enough? Can I be enough? Is this the right choice? It brings what Pastor John Tyson defines as a crystallization of discontent. And it brings restlessness. Is that not a picture of the people in our front and center world? Is that not a picture of those in our family, those that we have conversations with in the car park and the cafes? Those that are in our front and center world trying to operate in this secular society, fleeting happiness, anxiety, discontent, restlessness. And so the point of me demonstrating this today, it's not just because it's fun, but it's twofold. It's to remind us that this is the world that we live in. This is how our secular society feels and breathes. This is how they're trying to generate meaning. They may not be able to articulate that. It may be in their very much their subconscious. But they're trying to create meaning with a sense of input and an output. However, we as believers, friends, are not designed to reside in this flawed system. But everything in our natural world will keep trying to pull us into it. We will be told lies and lies again. Just sign up to this and you'll feel better. Just prioritize this and you'll have a greater sense of peace. Just do this, have this type of freedom and you'll feel that craving fulfilled. We will be pulled and lured to this all the time as Christians because this is a picture of our society. Now, that's not where we are going to end. Because here's the prophetic imagery. We have Jesus. Jesus the hose. Jesus, the origin of meaning making, the origin of life. David so beautifully articulates in Psalm 42 that our thirst is only fulfilled by God. As we are connected to Jesus, abiding in him, compelled in him, he fills our every tank. Jesus is the living stream, the water that never runs dry. Jesus is our source. Jesus is our all. He is the system that brings total life. Da, da, da. And that was the analysis. And nearly. Okay. Jesus. They're probably a kink in the hose. Naughty hose. Jesus is the source outside the system. Jesus is the well that never runs dry. Jesus, our Jesus, is the abundant, life-giving, never running dry, overflowing answer, replenishment, restorer, filler of all our tanks. And in doing so, yeah. So that we are then full of a freedom that is not self-seeking, but it's chain-breaking. We are full of a community that is about tables, not platforms. We are full of a purpose that has eyes to see others, not just myself. Jesus rewrites the entire system of meaning-making because there is enough water, there is enough of Him, there is enough meaning, there is enough life to overflow my tank so that I can have the space for others. My tank is overflowing, so I don't just get to live it, I get to share it. There's more than enough. There's more than enough just for me to feel a sense of purpose, but not just that. Now I want to share it with you. Now I want to tell you the truth. Now I want to impart what I have. I want to tell you about the hope that I have, the life that I have, the joy that I have, the love that I have, because I am overflowing with meaning. I am overflowing with a sense of purpose. And this whole concept is so beautifully exemplified in the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. The only miracle that's told in all 4 Gospels, Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, John 5. This miracle always highlights to me that our God is a God of the overflow. I'm going to feed you in abundance. I'm going to replenish you in abundance. I'm going to fill you up in abundance, and then there's baskets left over. I'm not just about the God of there might be enough. I'm not just about a God of there is enough. I'm about the God that is more than enough. It's a miracle of the overflow. It's a miracle of the abundance. It's a miracle that, yes, I will feed you, but then there is more than just you. There is food for you and you and you and that person you don't even know their name of and that person on the street corner and that person in your community and that brother and that sister. There is more than enough. It is a miracle of the overflow. That is the life to the full that we have in Jesus. Jesus gives an abundant, full, community-riching, meaning-making, life to the full, for me, for you, and then for us. So let's read these scriptures again. John 10:10. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate. The sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life to the full. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you can expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. I have come so that they can have, we can have, real and eternal life, a more and better life than we ever dreamed of. Listen to this in Romans 8 from the Message. This resurrection life that you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It is adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are. Father and children. So unlike the broken secular system, our Jesus brings a life that is abundant, real and eternal, rich and satisfying, gloriously expectant, not without hardship or trial, of course, but full of fervent hope. And that, my friends, is the undertone, the prologue, the cultural landscape of why we are launching into a decade on purpose with Him at the centre. Because He is calling us again, calling us individually and corporately, that our hearts would lean in and listen to Him again, that we would be compelled and convicted and called to action. So I'd leave you with this imagery today. So you go out of this place, so you pull up maybe the app later on or listen to it again on the podcast, I'd ask you, how are your tanks? How's your choices around your freedom, your community, your sense of purpose? Are you trying to replenish those tanks from yourself? Or is Jesus the origin and the purpose and the life giver and the meaning maker? And that's challenging, I know, and I've been challenged about it in lots of lovely ways myself as I've written this week. And I've had to make some line in the sand decisions and sacrifices around good things, don't get me wrong, good things that have just got out of whack. And I need to bring realignment back in and remember to make Jesus the focus, the priority, the source, because we cannot have process without presence. We cannot have meaning without the meaning maker. We cannot have a sense of purpose without him who ordains and designs purpose. And so in the coming weeks, as we lay hold of some revelation and some ideas and some new concepts and new things that we're doing as a church, as we launch into a decade on purpose, it would be our honour as a team that you join us on this meaning-making adventure. A decade on purpose, a day on purpose, a week on purpose, a year on purpose, sourced, compelled, anointed by our Jesus, who fills us to overflowing. That, my friends, is the life to the full. That is the heartbeat of this church. Stand with me. I want to read Isaiah 43, verse 16 from the Passion over you this morning as I finish. Stand there and receive this, however makes sense to you, if you want to close your eyes. Hold up your hands. Here's a word for you, for us. God will do a new thing. Yahweh is the one who makes a way in the sea, a pathway in the mighty waters. He destroyed chariots and horses and all their mighty warriors. They fell never to rise again, gone forever, snuffed out like a wick. This is what he says. Stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember these former things. I am doing something brand new. Something unheard of. Even now, it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in your wilderness. I will open up flowing streams in your desert. Wild beasts, jackals, and owls will glorify me, for I supply streams of water in the desert, rivers in the wilderness, to satisfy the thirst of my people, my chosen one, so that you, whom I have shaped and formed for myself, will proclaim my praise. Thank you, Jesus. We receive this word this morning. Imprint it on our heart, what is for us personally here. What do you need us to get back into alignment, oh God? How do you need us to see you again? Take off scales of our eyes so that we can see you, Jesus, for who you are. That we will be compelled again, convicted again, aligned again, Jesus, with your heartbeat, with your purpose, with your all. Jesus, we want to partner with you on this glorious adventure, this glorious meaning-making adventure, but Jesus, not just for ourselves, for the beautiful and profound responsibility it is to be able to share that with others. So we grab a hold again today of that eternal life, that abundant life, that overflowing life that is only found in you, the origin of life. We grab a hold. We ask that you bring fire and form to us in these coming days and weeks and months. Fire that is an anointing from heaven that has supernatural unction. But Lord, that we will have the form, that is the structure, the choice, the movements, God, to make decisions, to continually align ourselves with all that you have called us to be.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.